What do you want to play, Sam?
We're going to play Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We're all going to sing it, too.
Welcome to another edition of Meet Me at Musual, the first of the August Musuals that we will be doing. I'm your host, Daniel Shoptoff from C70 at the Bat, at C70. With me, as always, Alan Medlock, a Medlock1 on Twitter and at the Redbird Daily when he's writing. Alan, it was, you know, this time last week we were, I don't want to say we were fired up about the trade deadline, but we were interested in it. We thought, hey, there's going to be, I think we kind of resigned ourselves to that typical bullpen arm for minor league outfielder type of deal. And yet, Monday came and went, and the same roster that they had that morning is what they had that evening. In fact, I guess the only other change was they activated Stephen Piscotty, but that's a, you know, not exactly counting. What are your thoughts? I mean, this was a kind of a thing that fired some people up about, you know, what exactly is the front office doing. So what were you thinking Monday afternoon?
Just disappointment. And it was, the further it went on of just like the lackadaisical baseball, you knew there wasn't going to be the blockbuster move unless it was just a complete wiping out of the roster and bringing in that, the one guy that they think is going to, the difference maker bat. And then, to get that back, you're probably going to take a step back because you're going to have to lose a lot from the roster. The bat that we're talking about, we agreed on this, that it just wasn't out there. You know, that, look, on trade deadline day, there were two position players. Of all those deals, there were only two position players traded. So it was a pitching-heavy market, and the market wasn't very good for position players. So we kind of knew that, and it proved it to right that they couldn't get that bat. I just didn't think that looked very good. All we've heard about was, you know, roster issues, stale. You know, this roster's gotten fired. They beat up that path to Memphis back and forth, just kind of reshuffling the deck, basically, to try to get something done. I really thought they needed somebody, and I thought they needed somebody just mainly – even I don't even know how big it needed to be, but I thought it needed to be proof in the clubhouse that they made a move. You know, I don't think it's hurt them anymore. They're still playing 500 baseball. That's what this team is. But it was just disappointing. And, you know, the fan in me wanted to see at least somebody new, see at least their name in the headline that they made a deal. It was more disappointing. And I think that you may see that in the clubhouse a little bit, that, you know, maybe Mo went in and said, hey, we just don't feel like you've played enough to make a big shuffle to move. We think that if we're going to make a run at a wild card of the division, we've got what we want in here. Or if guys were mad thinking, hey, they don't think we're worth the help. You know, I don't know. I would like to be a fly in the wall in the clubhouse some of those times to find out.
Yeah. Well, if it was that the team got mad because they didn't get any help, they haven't shown it. Going
sure.
3 out of 4, and again, an offense that is, you know, we talked at, you know, there was a lot of talk about needing pitching, needing bullpen arms, needing stuff like that, and I'm not arguing with that, but, you know, at one time this summer, we were always talking about that big bat, and it's obviously that the Cardinals needed it forever, but there was a time for a while that wasn't really the issue. I mean, they were scoring 4 or 5 runs a night, which is decent, and if you get good pitching, you can win a lot of those kind of games. But as of the last few weeks, you know, the last probably 2 weeks or so, without, you know, pulling up numbers and stuff, you know, it just feels like if another team scores 2, that game's over with. And that's, I don't know. I mean, part of that's Jed Jerko is slumping. Part of that is, you know, Paul DeJong has finally cooled down. You're putting those guys 3-4. You've got Molina 5. You've got, you know, and that's a normal day. I mean, we can talk about tonight's lineup in a little while. You've got, you know, Randall Grichuk cooled off. I mean, just everybody seems to, except for Tommy Pham. And, you know, I think Matt Carpenter is still doing the Matt Carpenter thing, at least getting on base. There's just not a whole lot of spark there. There's not a whole lot of consistency. Even if you can put a couple of hits together, you're going to run into that dead zone. So getting a bat would be very, very helpful. But you're right. They just weren't out there. For whatever reason, people didn't move hitting. It's a little surprising given the home run rates that are across baseball right now that you would think some people would give up a little offense because they should be able to get it somewhere else. Or, on that flip side, the Cardinals should have been able to trade some. Because if nobody else is trading bats, you know, the Cardinals had Tommy Pham and Randall Grichuk, and I'm not saying you're going to get, you know, a top-notch prospect for either one of those, but you could have traded somebody and tried to help clear out this outfield logjam. We saw Stephen Piscotty come back. We saw Harrison Bader go down after only being up for, you know, about 10 days or so. Do you think the Cardinals really expected to trade an outfielder to keep Bader up? Because they knew when Piscotty was coming back, but, you know, all year long they have tried to keep Bader down on the minor on the farm because they didn't think he'd have a long run in St. Louis. Then they bring him up, and it turns out he doesn't have a long run in St. Louis. Is that what it's boiled down to, you think?
I think they tried to make moves. I do. I really think they worked hard to do stuff. I think they were frustrated. I don't believe for a second they were sitting on their hands. You know, it could go into this. I don't know if you feel the same way. It just seems like this is the way that it's gone the past few years. The trade deadline isn't what it used to be. It's never a major leaguer for major leaguer trade anymore. It's always a prospect heavy trade now, and it's never just the earth shattering move of, you know, two organizations both trying to improve, moving contracts and things like that. It just doesn't happen. So I think the environment kind of hurt them this year with, you know, the abundance of position players and just none of them moved. So I don't know. I think their plans, it's just seemed dysfunctional from day one about how they've done the roster. Kept the extra pitcher all year, you know, kept two extra pitchers at this point. I mean, I understand it for the Wainwright start, but it's – I do think they tried. I think they tried to move some stuff. My biggest concern where I'm really, really worried about this is that they're just completely overvaluing their prospects. You know, the national media or the national publications and all that seem to think that they're good as well. And I trust Kyle and Colin's words that the organization's good. I just think everybody holds on to their own pretty tightly now. And, you know, I don't know. I would love to find out someday who they targeted to go get and why they couldn't get that done.
Yeah, and then it's never likely to help, unfortunately.
I completely get it.
Yeah, I will say, I just pulled up an article real quick on MLB.com that had the top five trade deadline trades over the last, you know, well, since 86, when they moved the deadline to the 31st. And pretty much all those deals are a big leaguer for minor leaguers. I don't, you know, occasionally you're going to get that other. I mean, and I'm, I mean, there may be some major leaguers, like young major leaguers in that deal too. But you're, you know, the trade deadline isn't always going to get you that big for big because you're trading from a team that doesn't have anything going for it this year to a team that does. It's the, you know, those off-season deals where you can get the big ones. But, you know, the Cardinals had so many prospects that they could have done something with. But, you know, the Cardinals do have the point. You know, why, you know, they're not going to sell Lance Lynn for pennies, which is fair, and they're not going to go out and just make a trade to make a trade. And, you know, you and I were talking about this a little bit before the show. You know, even if they had made a deal for a bullpen arm, there's no easy way to get them on this roster without waiving somebody, and there's nobody out there right now. I mean, Jonathan Broxton's already gone. Miguel Sokolovich is already off the roster. I mean, who are you going to get rid of to put an arm in there? I mean, maybe you could send, I guess you could send John Brebbia down, but he's pitched well. I think he's probably pitched better than his, pitched worse than his numbers look like. I think his peripherals are not that great, but maybe you could send him down. But you know, he's done well enough. You'd have to get a pretty good arm to replace him. And that's about it. So, you know, why make that move when it's probably at best just an incremental improvement? You know, is it worth doing that? So I can see the Cardinals' rationale here. The problem is, and I think we've talked about before, the problem is we've seen this for two or three years now, where they talk about doing something. You know, they talk about having an active offseason. They talk about going to get that big bat. They talk that they're going to do this or that or whatever. I mean, just 2 weeks ago when the Cardinals were in Chicago, John Mozeliak says he expects a busy deadline. And then they don't come through. And there only comes, you know, there's only so long people will defend the front office. And then some people, that leash is very, very short. Don't get me wrong. But,
sure,
you know, there is got to be, as I wrote about it, I think on one of my posts, I wrote two posts on this deadline thing. One right after it happened when I was all fired up, and one the next day when I actually thought about it some more. You know, there's this reservoir of goodwill that the front office has built up over the last few, because they've been winning, they've been making smart moves, things are working out. But the longer that goes, you know, last year missing the playoffs, you know, letting Jason Hayward go, or missing out on Hayward, missing out on Price, you know, things of that nature, and then not making a deal now, it's very difficult. You know, you can talk a lot about making a significant moves this winter, but it becomes difficult for people to actually believe that's going to happen.
Yeah, and you know what? And the thing is I'm a, you know, I'm super homer in the organization. I think they do a good job, but I'm kind of at the end of my rope on the deal, to where, I mean, they don't have to appease us, and they obviously know what they're doing. But this is two complete seasons, and I could even say, even though they won 100 games, you know, in 15. I didn't think they were that good toward the end of the season. I thought they had just ran it to the ground to win 100 games. I just didn't think they were that good. So basically 2.5 seasons of just this lackadaisical play. And last year I really thought it, during the winter I was like, okay, I can understand where they mapped out how they're going to improve, and they were going to improve up the middle. You know, they were going to get another reliever, and they get Fowler, and they do it. And it doesn't work out. But the guys that they put faith in, it haven't come through either. You know, that's a lot of it. And then you're Grichuk and Piscotty. And those are just things that, I mean, I just think it's time to move on. I don't – obviously, if the Rosenthal talk is true about the Sonny Gray deal, which I would think that it is coming from him, Piscotty may be a guy that's a candidate to get moved this year. And there's several of those things you can look at to say, okay, well, we peak in value here. Let's get this move. We can improve here. It probably won't be in abundance of what we think it's going to be. You know, they'll probably strike in some areas where that will kind of surprise us. But they've got to strike somewhere. That's what worries me, is that I'm more concerned that they're going to come back into camp and it's going to look a lot alike, thinking that Piscotty's going to rebound. You know, that's what I'm concerned about.
And that's there. I do think, as you said, you know, the Cardinals seem to have offered Sonny Gray, or Stephen Piscotty, the ace for Sonny Gray. But I think it's Rosenthal, I think even then. I think it was Rosenthal. No, it wasn't Rosenthal. It was somebody else on Twitter. Maybe it was Brian Stoll. Pointed out, you know, with Stephen Piscotty's mother,
sure,
it may be where he wanted to play a little closer to home as she's going through all this. And so that may have been more about appeasing, not appeasing, but trying to get Piscotty in the best situation.
Sure.
You know, not trying to just trade him. It's not like, you know, if the Yankees come calling, you know, they're not really looking to trade him. But in this situation, if they could have worked something out to get a guy like Kenseth Gray.
Yeah.
You know, and it sounds like it was kind of just a half-hearted type of, you know, they kind of checked in late. They kind of put this package together just to see how close they were, and they weren't real close. And it went on. I don't know that they did a whole lot of working on that, but still, it is interesting to see that. I think the Cardinals, even if you just look at it from a business perspective, have got to look at this team and say, look, we missed the playoffs twice in a row, because this isn't going to happen this year. I almost put money on it, and I really probably would, because it's not going to happen this year. So 2 years in a row. You're right, that second half of 15, although they went 36-26 down the stretch, which is not bad, but it's not necessarily 100-win team good, and then they lose in the, you know, lose to the Cubs in the playoffs. That's terrible. I mean, from a from a fan point of view. So there's strife there. There's people that are not happy overall. You have to do something to make sure those people are coming to the ballpark next year. Because, you know, if you come back with a roster that's 85-90% of the same guys, those people aren't coming. Because we've seen this picture before. We've seen this.
Sure.
And there's not enough. You can say Dexter Fowler is going to be better next year. You can say Stephen Piscotty is going to be better next year. But even that, I mean, can you say Jed Jerko is going to be better? I don't think so. I know he's slumped lately, but, you know, is he going to be as good as he was in the first half all year long next year? No, probably not. Tommy Pham, as much as we love him, you know, I don't know that he can do this again next year. So, you know, without the changes, you don't sell the tickets. And so I think there will be changes this summer, but that's the only reason I have much confidence in that, is because I do think it's starting to get to the point where the pocketbook is going to start noticing.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I mean, that's it's just not a fun team to watch right now. Mm-hmm. And you know, that is around the whole fan base. You know, it's just frustrating. So, just like I had said before, I mean, I was going through basically everything on Monday just to kind of get some kind of clue what may be going on, and I read a couple of notes, and like I said, it could have very well have been the same scout that said this, but you know, just they did not paint, it was not a good picture that they painted the Cardinals situation, you know, and that's you know, just act like they didn't want to be there, and that's not a good situation at all.
No, it's not, and you're right. Given what we've seen off this team all on the field, and given what we've seen from some parts of this team on social media, it doesn't feel like a group that's all there, all willing to fight, all really ready to fire.
Yeah.
And you know, some of that is narrative because we're seeing them lose, but some of that is just that feeling that you get watching this team. And again, it's the lethargic offense for the most part. I mean, you know, you go to tonight, Mike Leake, he gives up 3 runs in 6 innings. I mean, and he didn't, I mean, from what I saw, and again, I didn't watch the last half of the game. I put that on Twitter. But, you know, from what I saw, from what I could tell, pitched a pretty good game. I mean, a game that you would expect Mike Leake. If Mike Leake gives you a quality start, you're doing pretty well. And you're in Cincinnati. I mean, you know, I know there's a lot of talk about Busch being a pitcher's ballpark, and it's even playing maybe even more as a pitcher's ballpark this year. Fine and dandy. But they've just gone to Milwaukee, and now they're in Cincinnati, and there's other ballparks that they've, you know, that everybody else can hit in that they're not hitting in. So you can't just say they play in a pitcher's ballpark. And I mean, it just doesn't work that way. I mean, they've got to be able to put up more than 2 runs in Cincinnati. And we saw that earlier in the year. I mean, we saw that, you know, what, the Scooter Jeanette got more RBI in one game than the whole Cardinal team did in a series.
Yeah, it's they can never put anything together, and it's just so frustrating to waste good pitching. You know, he got beat up that one inning a little bit, but that's the leak. That's going to happen. But, you know, still – only gave up 3 runs. I mean, you should be able, in Cincinnati, you should be able to do stuff about it. But this team strikes out in the biggest spots more than anything I've ever seen. You know, I felt bad for Piscotty. Striking out, well, he ground out his first at bat, big double play, a second at bat. You know, just can't get the seam, and he can't seem to get anything going. You know, and that's, he looks really bad. And it, you know, we were talking on the Redbird Daily on our group message a little bit, and Colin said that he was close, and I could kind of see it. But now I think he's forcing a little bit, because since we've said that, it seems like he's swung at every pitch since then. And you know, it I don't know, here, just like I sent you a message, here a lot of us are calling for him to be sent to Memphis, and Matheny hits him cleanup.
Yeah.
You know, that shows that he just doesn't have many options.
Well, he doesn't have many options. That's fair. But, boy, you know,
I know.
You're right. Yeah. I mean, you got Carson Kelly. I mean, look at today's lineup. I mean, you got Piscotty hitting fourth. Like you said, he's struggled since he's come back. He's in a spot where he's not hitting well. So why are you moving him up to that level when mm-hmm. he's not done anything? And then you've got Carson Kelly hitting fifth, who hasn't played in over a week, or at least hasn't started, hasn't actually had an at-bat since, I think it was, Tuesday. And you put him fifth. And I'm not saying that Carson Kelly can't hit fifth at some point in time, but... You know, I think it was just the idea that he thought he was going to put Yadier Molina in there, and then last minute he scratched him out and put Carson Kelly in because he didn't want to redo the lineup. And I mean, it just... You start looking at these things, and again, this team's probably not going to click offensively anyway, just because of the personnel that are there.
Sure.
But when you start, really putting big holes in the center of your lineup, how are you supposed to score? Mm-hmm. more than two runs. I don't get that. And again, that's one of those things that you'd like to think Matheny has figured out a little bit more. I will say there are times where Mike Matheny does stuff and it works out. I don't know that he
Well, yesterday. Yesterday I thought was funny. I'm sorry to cut you off.
Go ahead.
But I like the fact that he actually was like, okay, let's leave Wong in this leadoff spot, and let's see what happens. See if we can get something going. I thought that was a good gamble. And I thought that the gamble of taking Walk out was a good gamble. It showed more urgency than I've ever seen Matheny show. Now, of course, it didn't work out. The one right. thing that kills him, the one thing you couldn't have, they knocked into. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I kind of agree with you. There's sometimes where it points like he's doing the right thing, and then there's times where it just reverts back, and you're just like, that doesn't help.
Well, I mean, go to Wednesday's game. Tuesday night, I think it was Tuesday, that we have the whole Molina putting up the picture of Jose Oquendo. Maybe it was Wednesday morning even. I don't know. But anyway, Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, whatever. Puts up the picture of Jose Oquendo saying, I miss this guy. And everybody, of course, jumps on that to mean that he doesn't care for Matheny right now. I think on the whole it can be very innocent. I also think that when you've done something like what you did the week before, you got to realize that that's going to be jumped on, and I'd like to think Yachty's smarter than that. So if you think he's smarter than that, then he did it on purpose and whatever. But like Rob Brain said that day, he said, if you want to send a message that who's managing this team, Carson Kelly's going to play that night, he's going to start. Well, of course he didn't. Yadier Molina started. And what does he do? He hits two home runs and has a double. I mean, it's like, it worked out, even though it may not have been the right call for one reason or another. Some things do work out for Mike Matheny. You've seen it. There's the GIF on Twitter we use a lot. That's the matrix of, good idea and bad result or whatever like that, and bad idea and bad result, and there's the four squares, and Matheny sometimes winds up in that bad process, good result type of box quite often, and I guess you take it for what it's worth, but it's difficult to quantify luck in this thing, so I don't know. But you're right, though. I mean, what else are you going to do? I kind of sketched out some ideas on a lineup, too, but I don't know that it'd be any better. There's just not. I mean, especially since Zach Gifford just wrote a really good thing over at the Intrepid, really kind of showing that Matt Carpenter can't hit when he's not hitting leadoff. I mean, we've kind of said, "Oh, that's a bunch of hokum," but there seems to be something to that. And if Matt Carpenter can't hit three or four, then this team really doesn't have that right now. Because even when Dexter Fowler comes back, he should be hitting second. Maybe you could put Tommy Pham three then, but I guess that's probably the closest that you have to a three-hitter right now, but I don't know that that's right.
Sure. There just doesn't seem to be the right combination. I agree with you.
All right. Well, let's talk – I don't know. What do we talk about? Let's talk about the fact that Luke Weaver pitched two very good games. He gave up the grand slam we talked about last week that – the grand slam was not the problem. I don't think it was the two walks beforehand.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you run into JD Martinez, he's going to hit one out here and there. But that was the only inning he had any trouble. He pitched another very good game against Milwaukee. He went six innings with one run, and then for some reason, even though he had 92 pitches, I think, Mike Matheny ran him out there for the seventh. When you have, you know, more relievers than you have, you know, since, apparently. Weaver pitches real well, sent down today so that Tula Vala can come up. I know that they're not going to need him in the rotation with Adam Wainwright coming up, but man, I mean, I think this is just another symbol. It kind of goes back to what we were telling you. It's just another symptom of the fact they really needed to clear some roster room.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it seems like it. Like I was all on board about holding on to Lynn, thinking they were gonna make another move to supplement somewhere else. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of I was kind of hoping that, and I'm a Lynn guy, and just you know, kind of wanting that to happen. But it just kind of seemed like they didn't remove any of the clutter at all. Yeah, the Weaver deal, it kind of stinks because that was it. His start the other day was the best he's had as a Cardinal, I thought. Is there any thought to this to where Memphis is so good that he's going to go back down there and they're going to try to win that thing down there and there's no room here? Is that an easy excuse?
I mean, it's an excuse, but I mean, Memphis is what, like 50 games up on the second place team?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's nice to have those guys for the playoffs, but you know, and in this year, I mean, they won't need them in September so they can play down there. But, you know, it feels like right now it doesn't really matter who's playing for Memphis because there's a lot of those guys up in the big league level, and they keep running. And I tell you right now, they, you know, there's some people probably around the league watching Stubby Clapp as a managerial possibility, just given what he's been doing down there, especially this year.
Yeah, they're loaded. I mean, they're really good. I mean, he's kept them afloat with, you know, just like we were saying, they've burned a path between Memphis and St. Louis, so he's had to do some managing. There's no doubt about it.
And that may mean, you know, to some degree, that the Cardinals have a slew of 4A players. You know, because they have done well in Memphis, but they've not had a chance to do. Yeah, granted, a lot of those guys don't get an opportunity, a real fair opportunity in the big leagues, but. You know, even those that do haven't done quite as much for the team. I think it's probably overstating the things a lot, but an interesting something to think about. So, again, Adam Wainwright's going to be back on Sunday. I mean, where do we see the team? I mean, what's the roster move then? I guess you send down Tua Lavalla again. Now, I guess that's where I want to go with. There was something on the broadcast tonight, apparently. I didn't hear it, but I saw it on Twitter, that Dan McLaughlin said that one of the names they heard a lot about was Sam Tuilavala when the trade deadline came around. If they heard a lot about Sam Tuilavala, why the heck did they trade him?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was interesting as well. I don't know. That would seem like an easy target to move. So that may be an overvaluing situation, but he's never gotten his chance here.
Right.
So, I mean, either let him stay or move him. So, that didn't make a whole lot of sense. But, I mean, I agree with it because I don't think he would just throw that out there. But yeah, that's my first thought was I was like, well, it wouldn't take a lot of interest for me to deal him, just to say that you made a deal. For one of the main reasons is I don't know if he's ever going to get a shot.
Exactly. I mean, he has pitched, I will say, in the past, he's had rough outings. But this year, he's pitched pretty well when he's had chances in the major leagues. But they never seem to, I mean, he can come up and not pitch for a week and then get sent back down. You know, he got in tonight, got to one batter. I didn't watch it, but seeing Zach Duke win an inning and two-thirds when you have nine relievers seems...
Yeah, I agree.
Not real bright, but... I'm sure there was reasons. I don't know if there were good reasons, but I'm sure there were reasons. but, yeah, I mean, it just doesn't feel like the club, for whatever reason, and it may be one of those things, you know, we heard them a little bit at Blogger Day. It may be one of those things where the front office really does value Tuilavala highly, but when they bring him up, you know, Matheny has a different opinion.
Yeah. That's a great point.
And I think John Mozeliak has done his best to be a hands-off guy, which I think in general a GM should be. They shouldn't be trying to tell the manager who to play that much. They shouldn't be telling the manager what to do. Let the manager do his job. But, you know, Mike Matheny needs some direction. I mean, man never, you know, again, 6 years in the big leagues, that's all his managerial experience if you don't count guys that were, you know, 10 years old. So, you know, maybe he needs a little bit more of that. Maybe Mozeliak should have been a little bit more hands-on of saying, we need Sui Lavala to play. We need you to get him out there when you get chances to. I mean, significantly chances, and, you know, if he doesn't pitch for a week, then he calls Mike and says, why hasn't he pitched? I don't know, but it's strange to see that, and there you're right, there is no reason that if anybody offered, and again, I mean, honestly, Tulavala has no options left after this year. Unless you think he's going to be really going to be a serious player in next year's bullpen, which if he is, why is he not getting his chances now? You could sell him off for peanuts and it won't matter because you're not going to have him after next year.
Yeah, it's a great point. It was a head scratcher, yeah. Without a doubt. I would like to for him to get an extended look. You know, then we start going through the bullpen, and there's guys. I was like, well, I don't know if I necessarily want to give up on him yet, or whatnot. And it may be a situation where you blow it up and just let guys, you know, figure it out. But you know, outside of, you know, Rosenthal seemed to have gotten it together. You ran that through that situation with Cecil. I could live with Cecil. Bowen's thrown his arm off. You know, it's just one of those where, you know, there's only so many innings to go through, and I understand that's part of the problem. But I never felt like he's gotten a decent look, and I don't think he fits into your plans as a big time hit back into the reliever next year. And I agree with you. I was like, well, man, it wouldn't take many phone calls, you know, of interest to me to have moved him.
No, I mean, it doesn't. I don't know. That was very weird to hear that. And
yeah.
Again, you know, you're right. There's no reason to think that Matheny was. I mean, that Dan was not telling the truth on that, or that's not something he. I'm sure it's something he heard, but you know how accurate it is. I don't know. I don't. You made me look. Yeah. I can't believe it. But it's been 3 days since Matt Bowman pitched. He pitched on a Tuesday. Hadn't pitched since. I gotta wonder if there's something wrong going on down there, because
Matheny wants him
out there every day.
I know, and that's just kind of the. I mean, you can almost tell when guys are warming up. You know, I know that sounds stupid. You're just like, well, this will be a Bowman situation quick.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You're right. You could tell for sure. And Bowman's not pitched. Yeah, since the All-Star break, he's pitched in 11 games. Has a 2.70 ERA, so it's not like he's been. I mean, he's not necessarily been great as he was early in the year, but he's been pretty solid. And let's see, that's 11 games in what, probably out of 20, 25, so about every other day. It's just a little surprising. You're right, Rosenthal is looking very, very good, and I feel like right now, like you say. The bullpen's doing pretty well, especially when you've got that last hammer. And they've done a pretty good job of letting O, who looks better now, but I think partly that's because they're limiting his lefty exposure. But it's so nice. You know, if they've got a lead in the eighth, you feel now that they're going to win the game or they got a really good shot at it, whereas you just didn't feel that way earlier in the year.
No, that's you know, I like I said, I'm really pulling for Cecil.
It's late.
I felt bad for him, especially. I mean, he gave up that run yesterday, and I mean, he had them down to the last strike, you know, and there was a broken bat single, and you're just like, okay, and then you know, it goes from there. You're just like, wow, Jesus, this stinks, you know, for him. Right. So I mean, yeah, I mean, I think they're better. It's I really thought they would have gotten a veteran to come back there and close a little more of a known commodity. Obviously, they didn't. We've covered that already. But they've been a lot better. Their pitching all together has been decent. It's just points to more like we talked about all year. whenever the pitching's together, the hitting's not. Whenever they're hitting a little bit, the bullpen's blowing up. You know, it's just, it's really tough. I mean, it's sickening to know how much good starting pitching they're losing. You know, it was what stinks.
Yeah, it's frustrating all the way around. There's not a solution for it. You know, there's no big bat in the minor leagues. You know, we kind of saw Bader come up, and he's got some things to work on, but he wasn't ever going to be that big bat. You know, Kyle and I in yesterday's episode talked about Patrick Wisdom, who might be able to put a little bit of thump, but he's going to get exposed very quickly if he gets brought up. There's just nobody down there that looks like that. So there's nothing you can do except ride it out and hope you can score three runs when you need, and the pitching staff only goes up two.
Yeah. I'm curious to see how it goes the rest of the year. I mean, it may be a lot of this.
Yeah. Cardinals, 53-56, 4.5 games back. And that's a really frustrating thing. Cubs have been losing a little bit. You know, Milwaukee's now climbed within a half a game of them, which is nice. But, you know, if you win one of those games against Milwaukee, win a game today, you're 2.5 out, and it's still, you don't necessarily feel like you're great, but you'd be over 500 by that point. 4.5 out there. They're right now 9 games out of the wild card, have a chance to be, it's tied. The Phillies and Rockies are tied right now. If the Rockies win, it'll be 9.5. Otherwise, it'll be 8.5. The Cardinals have to play at an 89 win clip to win 82 games this year. And this team doesn't. I mean, we talked about at the beginning of the year, we thought they might have been a 90 win team. So if they had played, they got to play like we thought they were going to play all year long for the rest of the way to win 82 games. I mean, you just start looking at the numbers, and it becomes harder and harder to believe that this team's going to finish over 500 this year.
Yeah, and there's it's just there's no consistency in the performances. You know, when somebody's doing well, somebody does poorly. The offense may be at a low right now. I mean, they're really bad, and I didn't see this happening. I didn't think they were going to knock cover off the ball. Mm-hmm. But I did think they'd be a 3-4 running a game team. But yeah, it's pretty bad right now. They can never get that hit, you know, to runners second and third. They just never get that hit. Even the other they could have blown it open in yesterday's game and just didn't. They scored one run that inning after the Voit double play, and you're just like, this could have been a 3-4 or 5 run inning. And it just didn't happen. And you just wonder, you know, just like you and I had talked about the lineup roulette, it's going to be moving around a lot. I think you've got the young exposed a little bit. Probably time. Somebody put something great on Twitter today. They're just like, you know, we can all see it, but why is Matheny always the last one to see it? Mm-hmm. You know, that he's struggling a little bit. Like in tonight's game, you could tell, you know, they loaded the bases, and Grichuk, for the third out, watched his second. He got caught looking twice in back-to-back at bats, and one with the bases loaded there in the eighth inning. And I really thought he was going to put a charge into a ball. I was thinking, okay, this may be where the tide turns a little bit. Didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And then in the ninth, you kind of get the same thing. You know, you get the Jericho single, you rally, you got first and third, two outs, and it's just frustrating. I mean, you could almost predict the strikeout from DeYoung. Yeah, you know, and I was like, he's just overmatched. And it was Iglesias, who's good, and you could just feel it coming. They struck out 9 times tonight, but my guess would have been close to 20. You know, the strikeouts are just an epidemic, and it's just bad. And I know it's that way all around baseball, but the Cardinals strike out in big opportunities all the time. I hate the ones that, you know, that 7-hole hitter really needs to do something, or the 8-hole hitter really needs to do something before it gets to the pitcher spot. And they never do. But Scotty had 2 strikeouts the other day in huge spots when he was hitting 7th, and you're just like, man, you struck out, and it gets to Garcia.
Yeah.
And it just can't happen. The ball's got to get put in play in that situation. And it just doesn't. They're just not wired that way right now, and it's frustrating.
Yeah, look at it. Baseball Reference isn't updated for tonight's games yet, of course, but looking at the Arizona and Milwaukee series, you combine those, and the Cardinals hit .212, and they struck out 74 times in 7 games. So they're over, you know, averaging over 10.5 strikeouts per game over that stretch. And, you know, they won three of those games, but, you know, it's just showing what the pitching, I mean, because you got, you know, they scored 13 runs in those seven games, and five of them came, in the game against Milwaukee on Wednesday. So, you know, I don't, you know, what do you say? I mean, it's difficult to know. And it could be just a slump, and they could come back and turn it around, but the problem is that these guys just aren't that good. I mean...
No, yeah. If they can ever turn into that 5-6-7 run a game team, which you could say that about anybody.
Well, sure.
But with their pitching, they would be in the middle of things. And that's what's really frustrating about it. And you're just like, man, and I wouldn't even have needed a big bat at the deadline. I would just like to get a veteran that doesn't strike out so dang much. I mean, the Cardinals strike out in the biggest opportunities, and it's so frustrating.
Yeah, well, and I mean, and again, I guess some of this really is small sample size, because you look at the I go back and do the same thing with the Mets series, Cubs series, the Rocky series. So there was 10 games there. And the Cardinals hit .286 with 13 home runs. So that was, you know, over a homer a game. 84 strikeouts, which meant they were striking out more like eight times a game. They were going well and played some good talent. I mean, New York's got a good pitching staff. The Cubs are good. The Rockies are good. You put all that together, they were hitting there. So there's nothing that changed really before the Arizona series. So I guess you could really say that this is just a week-long terrible slump. But we've seen enough of that this year that it comes and goes that you wonder just exactly how long this ebb is going to be there.
Yeah, I'd love to see... I would love to be convinced that it's not, that it's more than a slump, or that it's not anything more than a slump. But, I just don't know. I don't know if they just have the pieces in place to really put something together like that. So, I'm curious to see how they play it out. You know, and I don't know if this was brought up yesterday. Is O'Neill going to get a look at some point?
Yeah, Kyle and I didn't talk about that.
He's done nothing but hit since he's got down there.
Yeah, he's
so and that, like that. I said, that may be more of a it may why waste him this year type situation. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but they're always looking for that spark. So I just wonder if that may be in the cards.
Well, I think that at best he would come up in September.
Yeah,
and they still have to put him on the 40-man roster. Because I don't think he was, even though Marco was. Yeah, he obviously wasn't. Because then they put Bader on the 40-man when Marco was gone. So he's not on the 40-man roster. They'd have to add him. And when you get to September, you've got, seven outfielders that are going to be up on the team?
Yeah. Have,
assuming Fowler's healthy, Fowler, Pham, Piscotty, Grichuk, Martinez, Sierra, and Bader could all be up on the team. So it doesn't seem like they would probably do that. Now, I'm not going to rule that. I wouldn't rule that out. And I haven't, like I said, I did not talk to Kyle about that part. But it seems to me that they'd probably let him spend August, in Memphis getting readjusted and see if he can continue to hit like he is. And then bring him to spring training next year. But, again, that's one of those things. If the Cardinals had made some moves and cleared off some outfielders... now it's possible that we won't see Sierra. Sierra is struggling now in Springfield, but it still feels like they'll probably bring him up because he's on the 40 man. They can use him as the pinch runner.
Exactly, defensively.
Yeah. Again, maybe they don't because they don't want that many outfielders. But we're assuming Dexter Fowler comes back this year. I haven't heard anything about him in a while, and if he's got the feet problem, and if this team's going nowhere where it looks like it, I wouldn't be surprised, I don't think, and I wouldn't blame him if he just shut it down.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's been just one of those tough luck years, and, battling injury and battling poor performance and, doing that. I hate to use a year of his roster space, especially when he's in his prime, on an injury season. I know you can't control that. But it's frustrating. You're just like, I'd hope that doesn't turn into a big black hole, that contract. And another thing, one more thing I wanted to touch on. I know that this kind of stuff has been done before, but I'm ready for September to get here. One, a little more clarity whether they're really in this thing or not. And two, so you don't run Carlos Martinez on the bases.
Yeah.
They pinch ran him today for Jerko, which kind of tells me Jerko's probably banged up a little bit. But that's pretty dangerous, you know, to run the guy that just signed his the extension, and you know is your best pitcher. It you know in theory, I know he's I mean he's not in theory, but the results don't show it right now. I hate the pinch running.
Well, but yeah, but when you've got what three guys on the bench, four guys on the bench,
yeah, just can't do much.
You can't, and I mean, see if I can. I mean, like I said, I didn't watch the game. But I imagine it was, you know, well, they weren't going to run Yachty, so that limited that down.
Yeah, he had already hit tonight anyway. So, and I think that was the last position player. I mean, yeah. I'm sure it was, but it's still, you know, I'm just like, man, a bang bang play at the plate, and he's out the rest of the season, and you know, then you're worried about him in spring. That doesn't look very good.
Yeah, if they were running, because they're running 13 pitchers, so 12 hitters, 8, 9, 10, 11. There should have been another. Should have been somebody else on the bench. I think. No, 1, 2, 3. I'm looking at the box score. If they've got, because they've got 4 starters, 9 relievers right now, so that's 13. So there's 12 hitters. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Well, Voit got announced but never hit.
Oh, that's why he's not showing up.
Yeah,
he didn't show up in the box score then, but he was out. Okay. That explains that. Yeah, that's who's missing. Okay, that explains then. Yeah, they had to. So yeah, they must have for some reason didn't want Jerko to be running. But
yeah,
you're right. Running a guy like Carlos Martinez is kind of iffy. Maybe
in more ways than one.
Yeah, run one of those lefties because we got so many of them.
Yeah, that's right.
Something happens, then.
Maybe I'm nitpicking. I don't know, but it just drove me nuts. I was like, I hope this doesn't blow up.
Well, and I saw somebody else, a couple other people talking on Twitter about this about that after the game as well. Like I said, I didn't necessarily know the situation because I hadn't watched it, but and I think that's fair. I think there are times to use pitchers on the base paths because. You know, but, you know, you're right. When you get to September, at least you won't have to worry about all that because you'll have those expanded rosters and bring up all the outfielders that you need. And that's probably about it. You know, I don't know what else you bring up except for, I guess, Alex Mejia might get back up. I don't know. But anyway. All right. Well, we've gone at this for 45 minutes or so, and I don't know that we're getting anywhere that we haven't been already. You got anything going right now that you want to talk about? I got a couple things I'll finish up with, but what you got going?
Oh, you know, not much. Just trying to follow, keep up with the guys, and I've tried to put out 2 or 3 articles, the deadline was so disappointing that I didn't get it one out the day after, and then this week was a little bit busy. But I'm going to try to put out a couple next week, and I'm going to try to look at maybe some, one thing, I kind of didn't want to spill the beans on this, but, you know, one of my guys is Aledmys Diaz, and I'm just wondering where if he's ever going to get another shot. And, you know, I think he will, but you know, you just haven't heard much. I know he had a big day yesterday. And I'm hoping that translates into coming back. But, you know, Garcia's big triple tonight probably bought him another month on the roster, at least anyway. So there may not be spot for him.
Yeah, Aledmys Diaz, actually, you talk about that. That's a good point. Yeah, we looked at him last. He was languishing really in the low 200s. Now he's hitting 276. He's got 3 home runs in 19 games. I think Kyle and I may have talked about it at some point in time. For a while there, it was like he was either getting 2 hits or he was getting none. But this last couple of weeks, a couple of days, he's had a couple of hits. And then, like you said, yesterday, 3-hit game with a home run. If DeJong continues to kind of scuffle, I think there's definitely an argument for bringing him back up if he starts hitting like he was. I mean, like you said, his last 10 days, if I'm reading that right, he's hitting almost 400 down to Memphis over his last 10 games. You know, I think it's going to take a couple more weeks. And obviously he's going to be a guy that comes up in September, if not before, but I could definitely see that.
Well, and I mean, I'll be honest with you. This was probably kind of the basis of the article that I was going to write, and I kind of started it yesterday. I would love to have a situation to where he's playing short again, to where Wong's playing second, Jericho's your everyday third baseman, but you could have that at bat, the bat of DeJong in the lineup every day, mm-hmm. kind of like they had playing with Jericho in the beginning.
Right.
And I would just much rather have that than have the Garcia option. You know, Garcia also has, you know, he had a triple tonight. You know, he knocked in a run yesterday, and that probably tells me that he bought a lot more time. But I don't know. I would rather go with the option we spoke about with Diaz involved.
Yeah, I mean that's very true. I mean, you're right. There's not a. I mean, you're looking at probably having to waive Garcia to get him on the roster right now. You know, I don't know. It feels like I saw some numbers, and I'm going to click something here real quick, that Garcia was doing a little bit better than we thought over, baseball. Oh, here we go. Since beginning of July, you know, he's hit 286, home run, 4 RBI. I mean, he's not going to give you much. His on-base percentage is .375, so, I mean, that's where you're going to look at. You're not going to look at power out of Garcia. There's value to Greg Garcia, for sure, but you're right. I mean, there's probably more value to a healthy and back to somewhat normal Alamedes Diaz. I agree. I've kind of said that before, too, about Paul DeJong. I feel like he's going to be the Jerko that we thought we were getting, that, you know, jack of all trades, bring power off the bench, spell people, assuming Mike Matheny can run a lineup like that.
Yeah.
So it's something to keep an eye on for sure. See how Diaz does over the next week or so, especially if this offensive slump continues from everybody, but especially DeJong. You know, they may go that route.
Yeah, I'd like to see it. I mean, I agree. I mean, I was glad to see him sit down, and you know, like I talked to you about in the past. I mean, Diaz probably didn't handle the demotion in the beginning like they expected. But I mean, this is another thing too. I mean, it's everybody was down on him, but when you look at it, I mean, he has around 200 minor league games. That's really all he's played. I think it's maybe a little too early to give up on him. He may not be a primary shortstop from here on out. But his numbers last year justified at least another shot, I would think.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I think we'll see some more of Diaz at worst September, but I think there's a good chance you're going to keep an eye on him, especially if this weekend doesn't go well or next week.
Exactly. Now, that could be one of those situations where you could see him meet them in Kansas City or meet them back in St. Louis when Kansas City came to town.
Yeah, but I think it's also going to be one of those things where the Cardinals bring him up if they don't think that there's much chance when they start waving the white flag. And I don't say that in a negative way, but I think that they're trying to sell DeJong, and I think most fans would say if they stop playing DeJong that, you know, they're not putting their best team out there, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's accurate, but I think that's the way a lot of people are looking at this right now. And so I don't think, unless when they bring up Diaz, if they started phasing out DeJong a little bit, you know, that might be their way of saying we're really looking to next year.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Could be curious.
Yep. Something definitely to keep an eye on. Really, there's not much for me. Still working on this Greatest Cardinal Moments tournament. You can find that at the different sites that are involved, including mine. We'll be starting the second round on Monday at my site. And that'll be, let me look at my roster real quick. That should be Gibson's 17K strikeout game in the World Series versus Pujols and Lidge. So that should be interesting. But we also want to mention that this week we found out that one of our UCB brethren, Gilbert Brayer, was diagnosed with a stage 4 cancer. it sounds like it started his colon, it's moved his kidneys, got some and a couple other places on his body. You know, he went in for a biopsy this week. They're gonna, do chemo. They're gonna do all the things. And Joe's in a good mood. He's in good spirits. He's talking baseball. But it's going to be a challenge for him. And as we all know, that also means that there's a whole lot of financial expenses to go along with that. So we went ahead as a group and set up a GoFundMe, GoFundMe.com/GoToBatForJoe. You'll find it there. You can donate. We set a goal of $1,000 and blew past that in the first day. I got to say, I was really amazed at how far that it's gone. It's at $44.25 right now. We will say, as an incentive, I mean, if you I know there's lots of people out there that have a claim on your money. So I can understand if you don't want to or can't give just because of a blogger that you may or may not read. But the Cardinals have been gracious enough to donate a signed Lou Brock baseball and a Lou Brock bobblehead from their STL is Lou campaign from last year. Very appropriate given Lou Brock just recently announcing that he is cancer-free after battling his own cancer. If you will donate at least $10 between now and the end of Sunday the 13th, we will do a drawing at the end of, sometime, Monday or Tuesday of that next week, and you will have a chance to win that prize. So, and again, just takes $10 because every little bit helps. Every little bit is going to go to Joe, and he's going to, use that for, whatever he needs right now. Because I'm sure there's a lot of expenses, not just medical, but things that are going to come up as he's dealing with this cancer. He's got, his wife, he's got a son that's about, I think his son is just about my age, so he's, right at my son's age, not my age. That'd be bad. Joe started young then. He's got a son that's about my son's age, which is right around 12 to 13. And so that's going to be tough on them as well. So, if you're interested, like I said, GoFundMe.com/GoToBatForJoe, and we'll have that open. We'll have it open for who knows how long, but we'll do the drawing a week from Monday or something like that. So just feel free to go there, throw in your $10 if you want, and we'll see if we can't maybe push that to at least $5,000 or even more before it's all said and done. Alan, I think, again, we've got a week this week. They've got to win. They really have to win the next 2 days.
I agree.
And they've got to win. Well, they probably need to lead. Well, I don't know. It didn't feel like splitting with Kansas City is enough. But Kansas City's a good team. It's difficult for them to say they're going to go win 3 out of 4 against those two series that are, split between the two places.
Yeah, especially in a rivalry game like that. I mean, it's going to be tough. I mean, I felt like Milwaukee and Cincinnati series were must wins because I feel like if you split in Kansas City, you need to pat yourself on the back. But, I don't know. They've just backed themselves into a corner.
Yeah. And, again, we're talking like what they need to do. I think we both, we're pretty much resigned to the fact that this isn't going to happen. But if it is going to happen, this is the stuff that has to be done. And
exactly.
We haven't seen it yet. Next week, Alan and I will join you at probably a little bit later. I am going to St. Louis next Friday. My wife and I are going. We are going to be guests at the Marriott St. Louis Grand. I am going, and also Tara Wellman is going, and we are... we're going to do a little promotions for them. You'll see some tweets from us talking about the hotel, talking about that, and they've got us tickets to the game, that kind of stuff. You can mute me on Twitter that weekend if you want to. Fine, Fanny, I don't care. You probably have already. But I will be in St. Louis a week from tonight, and we will be coming back Saturday. So Alan and I may record on Saturday night next week. We may skip a week. We'll just have to see. how things go and how our schedules work. And if this team isn't any better, it may be just as easy for us to take a week off because we'll be saying the same things anyway. But we'll see. But if you're in the St. Louis area next week, I think my seats are in section 134 or so. So come say hi, or you know, I would don't come say hi at the hotel. That's just weird. you know, if you start stalking me at the hotel, you got problems, folks. That's just all I'm saying. But until we join you again, I'm Daniel and that's Alan. Good night.
Good night.
Shooter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss. And that's a winner. That's a winner. A World Series winner for the Cardinals.